For today, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about just some of the strategic planning, the process that went into strategic planning that we started last year. Since last year, there's been a the strategy has evolved significantly. So I'll give you a quick update on the process that we followed, also on the objectives that we identified with the key stakeholders. And then I'll highlight some of the activities that are going on up to date that align with those objectives, and then discuss with you the future state of Biosense. So with the adoption of recent technology and innovation through the extensive collaboration of public health partners over the last year, one of the things is Biosense is really focusing on is reshaping its current approach by leveraging the current investments that we have, and also the evolution of biosurveillance, the field of biosurveillance, and working collaboratively with the state and local officials and other federal agencies. The model that we're building is really is built on transparency and built on users and the need and the true need of the users and the true need of the programs. So in summary, the strategy really can be summarized in a community effort, but with measured effects and measured impact. This highlights the process that we followed or following as far as capturing the various processes of the strategic plan, where we ensure that the stakeholder input and feedback is consistent throughout the various steps of from when we met with the stakeholders and the current users of Biosense, and in various sessions and conducted some of their needs assessment, how that integrates with the current activities, and then we started anew. So that's how we've been going about the strategic plan. And in doing that, then we really ensure that the current need is aligned with the future strategy. So the idea is really just to focus the strategy where we're trying to head towards, get the input and feedback, and just kind of continue this in iterative motion. So the purpose of this presentation, one thing I want to highlight is I'll go over some of the activities and research development effort that Biosense has invested in the last year, but then also highlight the future Biosense using a user-centered approach, which I'll talk about in a second. So in the various stakeholder meetings that we've had, we identified four major objectives for Biosense, for the future of Biosense, and advancing the nationwide biosurveillance capacity and capability. And these can be summarized by the following. First is expand real-time biosurveillance capacity at all levels, local, state, and regional and national capacity, so to ensure situation awareness and effective response, and linking detection to response. So we're moving away from early detection into a situation awareness picture, but make sure you ensure effective response. Second is incorporate lessons learned from the previous experiences we've had, and also from the input that was provided to us from the users, into providing a secure, scalable technical foundation. Third, we're going to develop or help develop biosurveillance solutions with the community, and that improve biosurveillance functions and effectiveness of health surveillance. The idea here is not for us to go and be in a software development business per se, but really work with the community, larger community, and foster innovation, foster collaboration, and make sure those solutions are meeting the needs, the actual needs once we document those. And lastly, which is really important, I mean, biosurveillance is not just about the data and algorithms, it's really about the workforce and the people. That's about half the problem, if not more important than just the system itself. So we're going to work on integrating public health workforce and help develop the capacity, and by fostering what I call horizontal collaboration communication. CDC will be partner at the table. We just have a seat just like anybody else, but we're not dominating the discussions. So along those four objectives, I'll like to discuss with you some the various activities that happened today over the last year since FIN last year's, and these are activities really to ensure that the objective are viable. It's a viable approach. We're trying to understand is for the future bias surveillance, what is really the most viable solutions going to be? What is the most viable the feel and look of how the community is going to come around and collaborate? And this can be broken down to these two categories. We've done some research and development efforts over the last year that I'll talk about. For example, the public health grid, CARDEA, which Barry really was spearheaded and the brain behind it. Also, the geocoded interoperability population summary exchange data, or GIPSI, and some of the work I'll mention how we leverage that for the H1N1, current H1N1 distribute project, and the NHIN Connect. And also I'll talk about the extramural research, the COEs, the communities of the Centers of Excellence, the health information exchanges, and also the regional collaborative cooperative agreements, and summarize some of the research that they've done so far. So the public health grid, the current investment and how it relates to BioSense was to ensure that to validate whether how a distributed approach to biosurveillance is going to be. So if you look at the recent advances in informatics in the U.S., in Europe, in Australia, there's been a lot of work where how can you break the task among various stakeholders and then to take this community approach to the problem. And public health grid really is a wonderful, there's been a lot of wonderful work that happened around it that we'd like to summarize some of that. For example, we validated the approach with the American Association Poison Control Center, where the data resides locally. So you're not collecting that data centrally, it just resides with the stakeholder in a secure environment, and simply CDC is able to query that information and then provide a view of that information. So a lot of work happened over the last year where we developed that approach, how you can you publish that information and query it without having to centralize any of that effort. And the neat thing about this is if you have that data, you feel really comfortable sharing portion of that data with others for the sake of situational awareness and collaboration. The other thing, technically, is far more feasible than building yet another system. You're only just querying that existing resources, and the data oftentimes, when it's in the hands of the stakeholders, is always going to be current. we're also working with the RODS, Essence, and distribute. Dr. Frieden yesterday mentioned the work on distribute. I'm leading the project for H1N1 distribute on the CDC side, and we leveraged a lot of the, for September 1st, we went live today, but we leveraged a lot of the existing investment that happened by since, namely the, I'll talk about in the GIPSI in a little little bit, but also the public health grid and the work that happened in the prototype. We leveraged that and we hardened it for national surveillance for ED level data. The RODS and Essence also, we work with them on installing what we call on upgrading the system to where you can share aggregate summary level data called the GIPSI service, which I'll mention in a second here. So that's on the public health grid. We also did work with the integration with the NHIN. NHIN, for those who don't know, it's the Nationwide Health Information Network. It's a national initiative that really links patients, consumers, providers, and provide a really secure and interoperable infrastructure. So the work that happened is that we did in our R&D lab is interface or plan to interface with the NHIN gateways. This is sort of what's called the NHIN Connect. It's essentially an open standard platform that speaks the same exact language as the public health grid. And some of the work is going to be there. If you're a physician with have an electronic medical record, you can query the population data for example, to see what kind of current outbreaks going on in your region at the population level so you can deliver better services, and vice versa. The using the NHN gateway, you can provide the patient-level data at summarized level or detailed level, depending on the need and the event that you're trying to track, and exchange that information seamlessly with the public health folks. So a lot of work also happened there over the last year, where we did a lot of research and development and to produce prototypes to connect in the two. The current HIEs, which I'll talk about in a second, they're exchanging data with us right now. Like, for example, New York State exchanging health information exchange data with CDC currently through FinMS, but the near future will use the NHN gateway or NHN Connect, and we have all that set up in the lab. Cardea is the goddess of threshold and health. Okay. For those of you, so it's going to take a while for us to realize the NHN, where we have a truly interoperable, interconnected, a network of network in the United States of health information exchange of health information. Currently, the way how the, for example, the hospital interface with the public health department, in BioSense, we use what we call the BioSense integrator, and essentially it's an interface. It's a listener that sits on top of an interface of the hospital that sends this data over to the public health department. We also in the previous years, I mean, we used the BioSense integrator to exchange electronic lab records. In the same way, so it has multiple use for surveillance, really. So one of the work that Barry really led here was how can we find open source component that we can put together, but also build rules around. So it's you have this transformation of vocabulary, but also some rules where you have not just a listener, it's a really smart listener. So if I detect fever, then what is the next thing that I need to listen to? And then once you find those, you can package them and send them off to the public health department. And we're working on a pilot right now with the state public health department to just test the viability of that. I mean, the Cardea could also, you know, really, I mean, if you look at the cross, not just for BT events or infectious diseases, I mean, it could be across the board for any reportable illnesses, electronic lab records that can be sent to the public health can be sent to the public health department. GIPSI, which is geospatial or geocoded interoperable population summary exchange. The idea is oftentimes jurisdictions, it's easier that you can share, for example, a map or and say what's your current situation in your jurisdiction, or share that summary level data cross jurisdiction before, which is really, I mean, is getting a lot of traction in the community. So BioSense really is been exploring over the last year how the exchange of summary data can provide a really good situation awareness at the national view, and then leave the more detailed view really to the state and local, since that's really their jurisdiction, without failing to report on an event or detecting that an event was happening at some point. So some of the pilot really were we worked with, for example, the RODS Essence, and also the International Society of Disease Surveillance, the Distribute Project, on how we can have this what we call a GIPSI service. So essentially, if you have line listing records, the GIPSI service can help you aggregate that at the ZIP 3 level, and then using different classifiers. For example, you can aggregate at ZIP 3 by age or by condition, like ILI broad or GI or ILI narrow, and be able to exchange that information because it's interoperable through the public health grid. The additional work also, we're working with the NHIN on having what we call this as a future or the profile for the future, which is a service that can sit on NHN Connect. So you can automatically aggregate at whichever level, by whichever classifier or condition, patient health record data, which will ensure privacy and ensure also timeliness of reporting. So we're working with the HIEs and working with NHIN also on some of that. I mean, it's really important that was for the H1N1, the distribute project that Dr. Frieden mentioned yesterday. I mean, we had like 4 weeks worth of just to deliver, to build a national system. And without these investment, really would have been really hard to have something that stood up this morning at 8 o'clock. The Gypsy was part of it. The brain, Dr. Les Leonard, really spearheaded this and all these investments over the last year. As you see here, we don't have one solution by surveillance. We're looking at various problems, and we would want to see which ones we can really is viable and which ones not. So that's where a lot of work you see these. For H1N1, it was really kind of nice to have a Gypsy, and how nice to have a public health grid, nice to have a connection with the HIE, nice to have that we already did 9 months worth of work with DRAWS and Essence, that service is there. So when we need that data, so it's all just suddenly coming together. But there was a lot of work and brain power behind it over the last year. So beyond technology is also, the working with the workforce and ensuring the building capacity and capability. The work that we're doing with the communities, with the Centers of Excellence for public health informatics, and these are, for example, the APL Lab, the New York City, the Washington University of Washington. They're doing a lot of work on assessing the data quality, the validation, the analysis. Also working with us on a Gypsy and aggregate. Form aggregated data, summary exchanges, all that is really feeding back into the future of biosurveillance. I mentioned the health information exchanges. These are the three primary health information exchanges that we're funding through cooperative agreements, which the Indiana School of Medicine, the SAIC working, doing really great work with the Northwest Inland Health of State Washington, and also through health research for the state of New York. The state of New York currently for the H1N1 with Distribute is currently sending us data through FinMS, and the future will be through NHN Connect to feed this aggregate data to stand up a national electronic emergency department ILI aggregate data by this month. So we leverage that throughout the board. Let me see here. Regional collaborators is also a way to show how the horizontal collaboration within nearing jurisdictions. And then, for example, these are the four that we funded through a cooperative agreement this year. And we continue to assess the capacity for ensuring really a situation, cross-jurisdiction situation awareness and effective response. Missouri, Kansas, and Illinois is one region, Ohio and Pennsylvania, the National Capital Region, and also Southeast Region, which is Florida, Georgia, Alabama, I believe Mississippi, and South Carolina. So a lot of work there is really going, and we're using the public health grid, and we're using existing capacity and capabilities. So it's just, and this is the nice thing about a lot of the things that we've tried. I mean, they're all lightweight. We're not building any new system. It's just interconnecting existing systems, understanding the capacity, understanding what it takes, and what the workforce need and level of effort, and then try to fund those activities accordingly, and then try to save the public health departments from the pain of going and evaluating technologies and evaluating the various initiatives, but because we're doing a lot of that work collaboratively with them, and it just goes both ways. It's multi-directional. So this is one of, this just kind of give you the philosophy that we're going after here: being transparent, start with the users, not the technology, do as much to help as being a really good partner here, not just a dominator. So in summary, really, saying the same thing, it's a collaborative. I mean, this is all about how we can work together in making sure that we can ensure a really national biosurveillance activities are meeting the needs of the public health workforce. I'd like to share with you this the report from the Senate for the future biosurveillance or BioSense. And the ideas the committee really strongly supports this collaborative model, an open model to share aggregate data across distributed jurisdictions, and also they emphasize the need for connecting the future BioSense with electronic medical records. Some of this will be realized in the near future. Some of them will take time, but at least you understand how the Senate is really looking forward to this new approach to biosurveillance or grassroots effort, as I mentioned. So So that summarized really the process that we went about doing the strategic plan, some of the objectives that we came about with our stakeholders, and also some of the activities, as I mentioned, that align with those four objectives. So now we're probably asking the question, which you came here, is like, so who will determine the future bias or balance, and what is it going to be? And my short answer to that is it's going to be you. You're going to be really, just follow on the principles of horizontal collaboration, and it's going to be at the forefront and the center of future bias surveillance. We certainly have been able to answer some questions. We don't know all the questions, and we don't have any of the answers necessarily. This is going to be a really collaborative effort that we need to understand your need, and we need to understand how this bias surveillance activities really integrate well with your work. So you will define the future bias surveillance, and you being the state and local public health officials and who really have critical need for bias surveillance. And we'll help along the way. So in order for us to really start getting the need, one of the things we're starting and we're starting here at Finn, which I'll mention in a second, is taking a user-centered approach. And essentially, really try to understand is what makes bias surveillance useful for you in your day-to-day activities. No one wants to sit behind. If you think of BioSense right now, it's really a program, so the application is just one small piece of it. But imagine that you're sitting behind that monitor all day long while you're trying to investigate an outbreak. So that's not going to be really helpful. You know, we know the H1N1 current activities right now. We're spending 16, 18 hours a day trying to kind of respond to all the data calls and all the trying to analyze the data and all that. So adding yet another burden on you is just not going to work. So one thing we're trying to really understand is, what can you do with 5 gulps of coffee? How can we help you really kind of benefit from the great things from bias surveillance, but really try to understand how it really kind of meet your needs and integrate really with the programs? And you can't really answer that from just a technology approach. You really have to understand the need. You have to start with the people, and you have to collaborate. So... From the previous sessions that we've had with stakeholders over the last couple of years, and particularly the last year, which shaped really the direction for the strategy of BioSense, these were the major themes. I mean, people are looking for something flexible, so I don't have to build yet another system because there's a new threat. And also lower burden. If you can't access BioSense, then you're not going to be able to benefit from it. If you can't share the information with BioSense, and it's just you're not going to be able to do your work. Now the future BioSense is not going to be just one BioSense. It's going to be really distributed in a sense that at least my hope, or our hope, but we'll see how the truly is going to be once we work with you. And the trustworthy. I mean, this is, like I say, it's a people problem. It's not a data algorithm problem. It's we're trying to connect people to people, not people to technology or to systems. Today we started a session, but the plan, Dr. Barbara Masudi from RTI is a really well-known epidemiologist and informatician, ex-EIS officer, class 94. She knows really the world of public health. She knows the world of IT and informatics and work collaboratively with so many different public health agencies across the U.S. and internationally. And one of the things she's been working on over the last, I talked about that. Last few years, really, is work with the users to understand their needs, and that happened across various sort of disease surveillance systems, as well as electronic patient health records and whatnot. So she conducted today at 10:30 to 11:30 at the first user session, and again, this is where we sit down and collaborate and discuss with the users really truly what are their needs of bias surveillance. There's another session we'll have tomorrow also in the Fairlie room from 10:30 to 11:30, where we're really trying to explore how is this approach is going to work. We will provide all those feedback back to you in the hope that we can have open discussion from now on to really kind of gather your needs and understand it and have your voice being vetted into this whole process so really we can ensure that we have a solid national bias surveillance initiative going. And with that, I'd like to just open it to the floor. I've used my 20 minutes, so I'd like to just for the rest of the meeting just kind of hear from you and listen.
Could you say a little bit more about Distribute and what CDC's investment has been in that?
CDC Distribute, so BioSense actually, the International Society of Disease Surveillance is a society where an experiment called Distribute. I can't remember the exact acronym of Distribute, and it's really funny how you spell the letters. But the idea was there, how can you, it's a grassroots effort, work with the locals who really understand their domain, understand their jurisdiction, to be able to pull together aggregate data and then make sense of it at the national view so you can share that information. Distribute started about 3 years ago, and BioSense funded the first 2 years of those, and the last... Partially funded, yeah, the first 2 years, and then the last year were funded by the Markle Foundation. Dr. Frieden is tasked CDC to Nick Fee and Dr. Les Leonard by September 1st, make sure that we stitch existing systems, namely BioSense and Distribute, and then start recruiting additional sites so we can grow this this network of reporters to aggregate data. A subset from those reporters will also provide us with severity indicators such as temperature and disposition.
Flu-related
at this point. Now, Distribute collects more than just flu, for example, GI and other things, and the design, and we've been working, the lab, been working with Distribute over the last 9 months now of exploring summary aggregate data sets, and they have a GPSI service, so that's installed in the University of Washington to share that data with us. And that relationship that we built over the last 9 months really was very instrumental how we stood up the system in less than 4 weeks. Very minimal.
What does that mean?
It's we're using existing investment that we did already for in the GPSI, in the public health grid. So already, yeah, we're just leveraging
$50,000 in 6 months, I think.
I can't say, yeah. All right. So, whatever. So. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, say the question again. Who's going to collaborate with Distribute?
What I'm saying is BioSense.
BioSense.
Yes, is BioSense going to form with Distribute, or does it go to parallel organizations seeking the same kind of information?
No, the idea here is collaboratively working. So this is a CDC Distribute, ISDS Distribute. Yeah, the question was, is this going to be two parallel systems, or is CDC going to collaborate with Distribute? Okay, and the answer to that is, this is a partnership between CDC, the Public Health Informatics Institute, and ISDS Distribute. So we're all collaborating on to building this national view of emergency department aggregate level data for ILI. Does that answer? Yes. Okay, so sort of the transition between the current, so I guess just to rephrase the question is, so as we moved into this distributed approach, what's going to happen between now and then? So we're in operation maintenance mode right now, and we're trying to kind of sort of keep the lights on until we can't propose any new system really until we get the user requirements. We have done a lot of investment, good investment, in various to answer specific problems that we faced with based on the stakeholders' needs from the past, and we'll try to go back to the board and leverage as much from that as possible.
On a very high level, can you tell us what you have heard from stakeholders
what is future requirements?
Yeah, so let's go back on the for the first stage, for first phase of the strategic plan, these are where the four objectives that we gathered from the stakeholders. They were asking for to expand the real-time biosurveillance capacity, enhance technical foundation, increase the capability, and also have an open collaborative model. That's at the very, very high level. We have more detailed description of what goes underneath each one of these and how we aggregate them like this. But truly understand how this now is going to, from functional perspective, how it's going to work, is that's where we start conducting the user experience sessions, and we'll continue to do the user requirements, the more detailed user requirements. Yes. Can could everybody hear the question?
Okay, so you're going to continue to support these activities because you're going to be using some of that data, I think, to populate the distributed project, correct?
That is correct, yeah.
But you don't have a timeline for a transition, right?
We don't have a timeline per se. It's based on our user requirements, it's going to shape the future BioSense. So that could be by next year, that could be shorter than that.
Because this sort of fits into the larger perspective of what we were trying to do. So one of the four goals you see there is expanded real-time biosurveillance capacity. What that means is building capacity at states and locals to support their own biosurveillance systems. So the current connections that are at hospitals that are currently sending data directly to BioSense centrally,
and state health departments.
Yes, would be redirected towards state health departments. So as that capacity becomes available within that jurisdiction, it's a very simple matter, because this is all standards-based, to repoint that data that now is directed towards BioSense to the appropriate state and local jurisdiction. That data then becomes part of that biosurveillance activity at the state or local, and then that information rolls up through distributed or through GIPSI or however, whatever the future looks like, to a more national perspective. But that's the sort of transition plan. We don't have necessarily a timeline for doing that, but you know, as things start to progress and as biosurveillance capacity increases, we have that capability of doing that quite easily. So it's not a technological burden, it's a financial and infrastructure burden, really, more than anything. Does that help?
It does help. So one of the issues, so I'm from Michigan, and we already have that model where, you know, we're a state feed, so it's a single feed going to BioSense from multiple hospitals in the state. I guess what I'm wondering about is continued support for the existing infrastructure, and where do I look for to get that? There's a significant burden in maintaining these servers, and the initial rollout was fully supported by the initiative, the BioSense initiative, you know, the hardware, software. But now we're kind of in limbo, and I'm a little uneasy with the phrase "keeping the lights on," because it costs me some money to keep the lights on.
That's a good question. Like I said, we will have a better idea once we really understand what does the national view is going to look like. Is that only aggregate? Is that more detailed? Which event? What type of event? Until we get those clear answers, it's really hard to say this is going to be the solution. It's going to be by this date. So we will sit down with you and understand your requirements, understand your needs, so we can really better assess how this future biosurveillance is going to be. Sure, absolutely.
Yes. And part of the approach to this, and one of the things that we had planned into this, was a significant portion of BioSense funds. Of course, knowing what BioSense funds in the future is not a my crystal ball is gone there, but a significant portion of that goes into the ELC cooperative agreements. So it would be available through the ELC directly to states to build capacity, to support those that infrastructure that you're currently, you know.
Okay. So our intention, correct, and we are intending to write for some of that support in the ELC. Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions, comments?
Out of CDC or?
No, it's actually out of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Oh, okay.
The program supports them.
Okay. I don't know.
No.
I'm not aware of it. Yeah.
I don't know. Is anyone else?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. The question was, there was another RFP came out of HHS recently that calls for building a national syndromic surveillance system. And is this going to be different or? Okay. So I don't know. Well, that's the hope by this collaborative approach is even if you're not capable, maybe we can help. Maybe other states are already doing some of that we can leverage some of their solutions to help and in addition to the funding. Yes.
I think some of the ELC grants we're talking about could go to supporting existing systems, but also building new systems if that's what you wanted. Certainly, RISE and Essence are available if, you know, again, your decision as to how you would spend that money and what you'd want to do, but it is for building that capacity, regardless of whether it's, you know, you're starting from new or supporting something that already exists.
Are you saying that's money that's currently in the ELC grants, or that will be a new area that comes out?
You know, I'm going to defer to that since I've been out of Bison for 4 weeks now, and you know, like I used to say, 4 weeks of Bison is about a real calendar year. So. Or maybe they're just reversed. So anyway, but I don't know. I don't know where we are with that. That was in the planning stages. I know we had talked about it. It was a big part of our discussions in planning future BioSense to support heavily states and locals to build up capacity. What that figure currently is or what it looks like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know yet. Okay.
The term BioSense
Well, like I mentioned, I mean, as we conduct the user sessions, we'll really understand what biosurveillance means to the state and local health officials and what that means at the national view. The original sessions we did for the next generation objectives was really broad situation awareness and linking to effective response. But how is that operationalized and integrated with day-to-day activity? That's what we're starting right now with the user sessions.
Really the gamut of public health, which could potentially be really involved in biosurveillance.
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, we're starting exploring that at the Think Conference. We understand there's some interest in bias surveillance from the attendees here. The next step is really we have the JFIT, the Joint Public Health Informatics Task Force, that has members in CSTE and ASTO and HO. We're also reaching out to other initiatives like the ISDS, for example, which has a really small niche of experts, bias surveillance experts, and then find our way through those. We're going to conduct webinars and the likes, and then wherever they meet, we just go and meet with them and try to kind of engage in some workshops there over the next 5 to 6 months. Does that answer your question? So we have currently two sessions at Finn. One started today, and one is tomorrow. And we invite you, really, just to go. And Barbara is Dr. Masoudi here. Barbara Masoudi is conducting the sessions. It's really slow. I'm sorry. Right here. So tomorrow from 10:30 to 11:30 at Fairline. I'll refer to Vedana Carrick from there.
No, it doesn't supersede that plan. In fact, it's a piece of that plan. So the Biosurveillance Coordination Unit at CDC manages the overall biosurveillance activities at CDC, or else did. And so BioSense is a part of that plan, but certainly not superseded.
Yeah, I mean, I sit on a biosurveillance advisory team, and I mean, the notion of collaboration, start with the users. I mean, so all those are, we're just endorsing those and embracing them. Yes, we will continue conducting these sessions and get feedback on the input that we've received so far, and just start this iterative process with the users. We're working with the division of the communication at NICFI right now, and they're really helping us set in these sessions, conducting the webinars, and reaching out and documenting all these user sessions. Yeah.
Well, I can say more about that.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah, Barbara can say something. I'm sorry. Do you want?
We also are using this as an opportunity to identify who the real users of the systems are and who does the biosurveillance activities out at the state and local health departments, because that's an important step for us. We can't do a user-centered design process until we identify specifically who the users are. And I think that's a question that still maybe isn't quite as clear as we would like to have it right now. And so hopefully we'll be able to go through a full user-centered design process, independent and unprejudiced by what the ultimate system will become. We plan to turn over to CDC a list of requirements, desired features, functionality, et cetera,
that would form whatever the system is or is called or what architecture it uses, you know, that's completely up to the CDC. What we're going to provide them is a kind of design document that reflects what the users want to have in the new systems or in the current systems that may be enhanced in the future. And if anybody has questions about the specific user-centered design process, I'll stick around here and answer any questions that you have.
One thing I also want to mention, I mean, if you look at throughout the sessions being presented here, I mean, there's a lot of clear innovation in informatics coming not from CDC, coming from state and local. It's really impressive. And the state and local are going to be really critical in designing the future biosurveillance and based on now their clear needs. So.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.